I was listening here in the corner. You can't help but hear Brother Ruiz on that trumpet. And, you know, he's been playing that for a long time. Did you know that time he was just a little boy? And his teacher told him, well, you don't have to have the whole trumpet in front of you. You can exercise your lips with just the mouthpiece. In other words, just carry the mouthpiece around and blow on it, and that makes your lips real strong. And so he did. And as a little boy, he'd go around just blowing on that mouthpiece. Well, his lips really got strong. The only problem was he'd come to the supper table, and every time anything would touch his lips, it'd go all over the place. I mean, his mother would serve peas for supper, and everybody got peas all over their plates. It was pitiful. Matter of fact, the first time he kissed Yesenia, he almost blew her ears off. Now, that didn't happen, but I guess it could have. But I just want to say thanks to all of those who are providing this beautiful music. It is a blessing, and we don't take it for granted. Thank you so much. Pastor asked if I'd just mention what we're going to do starting tomorrow night. I do want to talk tomorrow night at the, 7 o'clock session on the rapture and some of the problems today. Did you know there are people out there who are setting dates? And Robert Camping is the most recent, and he set a date for last Friday, the 21st. And it has caused so much confusion. And so tomorrow night I want to talk about the rapture and some of the dangers that are going on right now. But then beginning Tuesday in my session every morning, 10:20 to 11:20, something like that, I want to talk to you about the great battles of Bible prophecy. You say, oh, there are a lot of great battles coming. Oh, yes. There will be one right here rather early in the 70th week. I think one toward the middle of the 70th week. We'll have more to say about this one, the Battle of Armageddon. And then this final one here. So during those morning sessions, we want to go into detail about the great battles of Bible prophecy. Now, somebody asked me at the table about that 75 days. And again, we don't have a lot of time in this session. But just remember in Daniel 9:27, this is the command, the covenant that was signed by Antichrist to guarantee the peace of Israel for 7 years. Well, as I said earlier, that's 7 years on the Jewish calendar. That's 2,520 days. The last 3.5 years is 1,260 days. In the middle of this week, there's the abomination of desolation. That's when Antichrist will put his image in the temple. Now, that's going to go on not only for 1,260 days, but in Daniel chapter 12, verse 11, the abomination will go on to 1,290 days. That's a 30-day extension. The extension will continue until it gets to 1,335 days. That's Daniel chapter 12, verse 12. Now follow closely. From the middle of the week till the end of the week is 1260. From the middle of the week till the millennium begins is 1,335. Well, if you subtract the 1260 from 1,335, you get 75. The first 30 days, the abomination will continue. But then you have another 45 days. And there's a great deal that has to happen during those 45 days. So I would just suggest you read Daniel 9:27. Compare that with Daniel 12, verses 11 and 12. And that gives you the basis of this period of time, 75 days, that will follow the Great Tribulation and precede the Millennial Kingdom. Now, if you have other questions, I'll be happy to talk to you before or after the services. That's why we're here. And if we can be of some help, I would count that a real privilege and an honor. Well, our time's going to go by, and after that wonderful dinner, oh my, thank you, ladies. That's one of the best meals I ever had in the church. But I don't want you to go to sleep on me here now, so you stay awake. I heard of a preacher who was preaching after one of those meals, and he looked down, and there was a gentleman on the front row, and he was sound asleep. And he said to the little boy, I mean, here he is halfway through his message, he said, son, will you poke that fellow next to you and wake him up? The little boy said, no, sir. You put him to sleep, you wake him up. Well, now, I don't know. I don't want to put anybody to sleep, but you did get a lot of good food. So I hope you'll stay awake as we come to our study now here this afternoon. Let's bow our hearts once again for just a word of prayer, and we'll open God's precious word. Lord, we're so thankful for the joy of being with your people. And I pray that you'll bless us now as we open this precious book that you've given us. May we understand it. Help us, Lord, to rightly divide it. May we be drawn closer to you as the result of our study here this afternoon. And we'll be sure to praise you because we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I trust everybody can hear. Is it coming all right back there? The preacher up here doesn't really hear too much, and I don't want to speak too loudly, so if you can hear back there, if you can't, you give me a hand or something, all right? Good. All right, I wish you'd take your Bibles now and open with me to the book of Luke. I'd like for us in this session to talk about the unsaved in Bible prophecy. In our first service this morning, we talked about Christ and his church in Bible prophecy. Then we talked about Satan in Bible prophecy. Now we want to talk about the unbelievers, that is, those who do not know the Lord Jesus as we find them on the pages of Bible prophecy. First of all, by way of introduction, let me remind you that from 1 Corinthians 15, when a Christian looks at that passage, he thinks of our bodies, these terrestrial bodies, the temporary bodies we have after we die, if we die, and we're in heaven in those celestial heavenly bodies, bodies that are tangible, that is, they are real, that is, we will know one another. We'll recognize one another. They're just not physical. They're not terrestrial. But then there's that third body, and it's glorified. So there are three bodies that we looked at today as they relate to those who know the Lord Jesus as Savior. But I'd like to do the same thing by way of introduction because we have a similar situation with those who do not know Christ as Savior. First of all, an unsaved person has this terrestrial body. It's a mortal body, just like the believer. But if he dies, that body is put in the ground. But that person goes to an awful place. It's called hell, the place of torments. Do you remember in Luke 16, the rich man died and was buried? Careful, the rich man was not buried, just his body was buried, because the rich man died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Now, what kind of a body was that? Well, the Bible doesn't go into detail, so we can't say too much about it, but it was real. He could feel. We'll get into this a little bit more in a few moments. But remember, he looked across the great gulf. He said to Abraham on the other side, oh, send Lazarus over here that he may dip his finger in water and cool my parched tongue. I am tormented in these flames. He felt it. Oh, but that wasn't his physical body. Because the rich man died and was buried. But in hell, he lifted up his eyes. He could see. He could talk. He could feel. Now, one of these days, there's going to be a resurrection of those here. It's called the resurrection of damnation in John chapter 5. And all of those who are in hell, as we'll discover later, will be resurrected. Now, what kind of a body is that? Well, we can't compare that to our eternal, glorified, incorruptible body, but it is eternal. In other words, we're talking about the unsaved also. A terrestrial body, that temporary body, whatever's involved in that in hell, then a resurrected body that is going to last for all eternity. Now, there's something else by way of introduction. When we think of this place here, that is hell, please remember, it's in two compartments. On one side was the place of torments. Then there was a great gulf. And on the other side was a place called Abraham's bosom, or paradise. Do you remember in the book of the Psalms? It's Psalm 16, verse 10. Now, this is a messianic psalm. It's talking about our Savior, the Lord Jesus. And there we read, "Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell." Did Jesus go to hell? Yes, but not the place of torments. You remember on the cross, he said to the rich man, "This day you'll be with me in paradise." You see, hell really has two compartments. On the one side is the place of torments. On the other side was Abraham's bosom, or paradise. Now, a lot of people say, well, Jesus went to the place of torments because he preached to those who are in hell. Oh, he didn't have to go to the place of torments to preach to those people. Abraham talked to the rich man who had died across that great gulf. Some people are teaching that Christ had to go there to pay for the remission, that is, complete the payment for our sin. Oh no, dear friends, it was on the cross he cried, "It's finished!" He didn't have to go to that place to finish the work of redemption. He did that on the cross. And then later, as he arose from the dead. So we're talking now about three kinds of bodies. We're talking about two places, though in Scripture, the whole area is called hell. That is, it's the place of departed spirits. But please remember, there were two compartments. On the one side was the place of torments. On the other side was Abraham's bosom, or paradise. Now, all of those who died in faith in the Old Testament went to Abraham's bosom. Every Old Testament saint went to that place. And when the Lord Jesus, there on the cross, was talking to the thief who had opened his heart, he accepted Christ as his long-awaited Messiah, his Savior, his Lord. Then the Lord Jesus said unto him, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Please remember that. Jesus did not go to the place of torments. He went to paradise. Well, after 3 days, he came back. And you know the story in his post-resurrection ministry. He saw several people during that very important time. But then he went back to the place where these Old Testament saints were abiding. And according to Ephesians, he then led captivity captive. Those Old Testament saints were captive to paradise or Abraham's bosom. But when Christ arose from the dead, you know what happened? He went to heaven and he took with him all of those who were in paradise. So now paradise is up here. Did you know there is no Abraham's bosom or paradise across in the great gulf now? People who are in the place of torments, maybe they can look across the great gulf, but nobody's there. Because Christ led captivity captive. Now when a Christian dies, he doesn't go there. For the Christian to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Dear friends, that thrills me. Now our hearts ache when we lose a loved one in Christ. But isn't it good to know where they are? Little wonder Paul could say, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." It's gain? It's better than this? Yes. Be with Christ under perfect conditions, up there in that place he's gone to prepare. My friends, that's a step up. Now, we still sorrow, as Paul said in 1 Thessalonians. We sorrow, but we do not sorrow as those who have no hope. Oh, we lose a loved one in Christ, our hearts are broken, and yes, we sorrow. But then we remember where they are, and we rejoice, because they're in the presence of the Lord Jesus, and they're rejoicing in all that is theirs in Christ. Now we're talking about unsaved in Bible prophecy. We've considered the three bodies that are involved, even in the unsaved world. We've considered those two compartments that make up this place of departed spirits. But all of those who die today, like in Old Testament times, without Christ, are here in this terrible place. You and I are living here in the age of grace. That's what this is. And people are dying by the thousands, and they're going to this terrible place. And they will continue to go there through all of these days of tribulation. And there will be some, maybe not many, but some who will try to overthrow the theocracy here, and they will be cast into hell by the end of the millennial kingdom, as we discovered this morning. And Satan is released from the bottomless pit. Every unsaved person born in the millennial kingdom will come together, and God will send fire from heaven, and they will all meet the wrath of God. And every one of those people will be cast into hell. That is the place of torments. But they won't be there very long. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 20, will you please? Revelation chapter 20. In our last study, we considered that time when Satan will be released from the bottomless pit. He'll come out to the earth in verse 8. He will gather together all of those who have been born in the millennium, who have rejected the Lord Jesus as Savior. The fire of God will fall from heaven. They will all be cast into hell. That's this place right here. But what about Satan? Well, we've already considered that in verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. As we discovered this morning, Satan will be coming from the earth directly to the lake of fire. And as we'll discover later, Antichrist and the false prophet are going to be cast directly into the lake of fire after the battle of Armageddon. Oh, now I hope I don't lose you in these prophetic woods. This is very important. Let's go back, if we may, to Revelation 19. Revelation 19. We have the battle of Armageddon now, recorded there in verses 11 through 19. That's the battle of Armageddon. The total military power of earth will meet the wrath of God, and every soldier will be cast into hell. Satan then will be cast into the lake of fire. But notice what happens in verse 20. And the beast, that's the Antichrist, was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both, that is Antichrist and the false prophet, were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Did you know these are the only two human beings who will go from earth directly to the lake of fire. Every other mortal who dies without Christ first has to go to hell. And as we'll discover later, they will be cast into the lake of fire. But Antichrist and the false prophet after the Battle of Armageddon go directly to the lake of fire. Why is that? I think it's because these two men will have allowed Satan to use them as no other men in all of human history. And they're going to go directly to that horrible place. They will be the first two human beings to go to the lake of fire. But tonight we're thinking primarily of those who are in hell. Those who have died without Christ. The unsaved. The lost. What will happen to them? Once again in John 5, verse 29, we read of the resurrection of damnation. That's this right here. Everybody beginning with the beginning of the human race who did not come to the Lord, they did not put their faith in Him, all of these people from the beginning of time who died without God's covering, they've been in here. And they will continue to be here all the way through the end of the millennial kingdom. And the last people to die and go to hell will be these people we just read about here in Revelation chapter 20, beginning in verses 7 and 8. They will be the last mortals to taste of physical death. And they are cast into hell. But they're not there very long. Why? If your Bibles are open to Revelation 20, I'd like for you to follow with me as we begin reading at verse 11. Revelation 20, beginning at verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. The personal pronoun Him is a reference to our Lord Jesus Christ. Because all judgment is given under the Son. Here the Lord Jesus will be seated on this great white throne. And every person from the beginning of time who has died without putting their faith and their trust either in God's promise that that provision would come or those who have rejected the finished work of Jesus on the cross, all of these people are going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, Brother Bob, isn't it strange if they're just going to go from hell to the great white throne and then to the lake of fire, why don't they just go from hell to the lake of fire? Why the great white throne? Well, the answer is found in verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Did you know there must be a great white throne judgment when the books are open? Did you know God is keeping books? And by the way, He's a good bookkeeper. Everything that everybody has ever done, either in thought or word or deed, that contradicts the standards of God's word, all of that has gone into God's books. And someday those books will be opened. We've had quite a series of terrible murders in the United States lately. Most Americans think that a certain mother probably killed her precious little baby. Now she's been set free. Did she kill that precious little child? Oh, she says no. The jury said there wasn't enough proof to convict her. But my friends, it's in the books. God knows. O.J. Simpson, it's believed by perhaps most Americans, killed his wife. He said he didn't do it. Did he do it? I don't know. But God was there. It's in the books. My wife and I were having meetings in Pennsylvania And it was in the area of the Amish country, and these lovely people, they're very special in our country, and I wish that they would really come to the Lord Jesus. Many of them have a religion that they follow very faithfully, and maybe some of them have gotten through all of that and they've come to Christ. But they're such good people according to our standards, and you can't help but love those Amish people and those Mennonite people up there in Amish country in Pennsylvania. And my wife and I were up there having meetings in a good, solid, fundamental church nearby. And that week something happened that broke my heart. A lovely little Amish girl was out there in the field. She was taking care of her daddy's cattle, just doing what she should do as a little Amish girl. Here came a souped-up sports car down that dusty road, and two young men were there, and they saw this lovely little lady out there in the field taking care of those cattle. They came to a screeching halt, and they said to this lovely little girl, "Our car's overheated, and here is a little river going under this little bridge. Would you mind bringing your pail over here and let us fill it with water and put the water in the radiator?" And the little girl said, "Oh yes, I'll be glad to do that." She went over there with her little pail. These boys took that precious little girl under that bridge. They both raped her. They got in that car and they're going down the road, and oh, they were laughing. My, wasn't that something? They don't get by with that. It's in the books. Everything that everybody has ever done that has violated the standards of God's Word has gone in those books. Oh, my Christian friend, aren't you glad one day when you opened your heart and you invited the Lord Jesus to come in? He not only came in, He gave you eternal life, but you know what else happened? Everything in those books was erased. There's nothing there to your account. Nothing. Well, somebody ought to say, "Whoopee!" I'm thankful for that, aren't you? Nothing in those books to your account, my Christian friend. But those who die without Christ are going to have to stand before Him, and the books will be opened. The book of life is there also. And we find as we come to the end of this Revelation chapter 20 that all of those whose names are not in the book of life are cast into the lake of fire. Isn't that interesting? If a person dies without Christ, there are only four things that he has to look forward to: hell, the resurrection of damnation, the great white throne, and the lake of fire for all eternity. Now, there's an idea running around the States. I don't know if it's in Puerto Rico or not, but there are a lot of people who are saying, actually, this is not an eternal lake of fire. These people, they're somehow consumed, and that's the end. Oh, no, dear friends. We discover once again in Revelation chapter 10, the devil that deceived, that is chapter 20, verse 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. You remember, the Antichrist and the false prophet will be cast into the lake of fire before the millennium begins. Satan is cast into the lake of fire after the millennium ends. And yet when Satan is cast there, the Bible says that's where the Antichrist and the false prophet are. Not where they used to be, but where they are. After 1,000 years, these two men are still there. And furthermore, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. My dear friend, if you're here without Christ, my heart aches. For if you don't come to Him, and open that trembling heart of yours to the Lord Jesus, and you die without Him, you're going to spend eternity in that horrible place. Eternity. Time without end. But I don't want us to leave at that point. Eternity is also a long period of time for the believer. And thank God we are going to spend eternity under perfect conditions, not only enjoying the new heaven and the new earth. Our heavenly city, of course, will be here. It'll come down. But we're going to have all eternity under perfect conditions with our precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't know Him, my friend, I would plead with you. Come to Him while you may. Now, I'm going to cut a little bit short so we can have a good time to go home and rest a little bit. This coming week is going to really be full. And I hope that you'll come as much as often as you can. And let's be much in prayer. That even people from the surrounding area could come in. It'd be wonderful in a Bible conference like this if people would come to the Lord Jesus Christ. But in addition to that, I think we should pray that God will do something very special in our hearts as believers. I really do feel we're very close to the coming of Jesus when He will rapture His church. And as I said earlier today, that could be today. I'm glad for the theme of the conference. It's put the spotlight on the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. If He came today, let's be working for Him. Let's be living for Him. Let's love Him as we should. Let's do that which He's commissioned us to do. We have all eternity to be in His presence, to enjoy Him forever and ever. And those loved ones who don't know Him will be in this place. Dear friends, how can we not have a broken heart and go out to seek the lost in the few remaining days we have left? Well, God help us to be faithful. My time is gone. I'm going to turn it back to our beloved pastor. He can close the service any way he feels led. And if the church isn't raptured, I'm going to look forward to seeing you right here at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. So you come, if you will. God bless you, my dear friends. All right, Pastor.
Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer just for a moment today. Father, we are grateful, so grateful this morning, this afternoon. Well, I will.